Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the Do Your Thing podcast. With you, as always, is Amma, and I have my co-host, Allie, with me. Say hi to everyone.
Howdy, everyone.
And today, we are talking with Sierra Barter, who is a day a member of the marketing team at Johnson & Wales in Providence, Rhode Island, and in spare time, which as you soon hear about her, you'll wonder where any of her spare time comes from. She's also one of the co-founders of the Lady Project. So, Sierra, say hi to everyone.
Hey, guys.
All right. So, as we jump right into this, so, Sierra, we don't typically do regular introductions. What we do instead is we let our guests tell a story from when they were a kid or as they were growing up that could have been a hint about what they would end up doing. So can you think of a time, maybe as a kid or growing up, where you did something that could have given a hint or a sneak peek to what you'd be doing now?
Definitely. So I grew up in Wisconsin, in a small town about 45 minutes north of Milwaukee. And as a kid, I was really into the Babysitter's Club book, like many girls our age. So I was really into the book, and I used to start clubs all the time, which is kind of weird thinking about it now because Lady Project is kind of like an old girls club now or young girls club for women. But I would start all these clubs as a child. I started like a Beanie Babies Lovers Club. I started the Sierra Club, which my mom was like, that's already a thing. And I would make like membership packets and have meetings and make tons and tons of lists. And looking back now, I was like, oh, my gosh, I was, like, such a crazy kid. But I think it's kind of funny how now I'm running this organization, member organization, you know, with hundreds of members all over the country. So it's kind of funny.
Now, I have to ask, since you brought it up and we all did it when we were kids, which member of the Babysitter's Club did you always see yourself most in? And, Allie, you could answer this, too, because I think it's a fun question.
So I wanted to be a Stacy. Like, I wanted to be, like, the cool girl from New York.
Sure.
And I had asthma, so I was like, that's, like, diabetes. Like, we both have these cool diseases. But I was definitely a Christie. I was, like, a Christie without the athleticism. Oh, my gosh, I can't talk. Without being, like, sporty. But very much kind of a bossy girl, even though that means I have leadership qualities. But, you know, definitely kind of a leader and kind of making my friends do things they didn't want to do. So I think I was definitely a Christie.
Okay. All right. Allie, what about you?
You know, I remember I love the books and I love the movie so much. And I want to say Marianne, but I'm not entire, like, I'm not sure why. Maybe it was because I was also obsessed with Rachel Lee Cook.
Sure.
But I think maybe Marianne.
Okay.
What about you?
I think for me, like, I was probably most often the Jessie because I was a black girl who also happened to dance. But I think that I wanted to be Claudia because she was very artsy and really into, like, fashion, but not in, like, the same way that Stacey was. It was more like, I want to make my own kind of a look and kind of create pieces into it. So I think the creativity piece and liking clothes probably was more of a Claudia, but I think I am just a Jessie with a little bit of a Mallory.
All right. So Sierra, can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to found the Lady Project, and do you remember there being a moment when you realized that it was something you really wanted to take on?
Yeah, so my friend Julie Siegel, who is my co-founder, her and I both, she's originally from Kentucky. Like I said, I'm from Wisconsin, and we both came to Providence to go to college. And we both stuck around after graduation. I was working in the nonprofit industry, and she was working right at her own company, now it's called Dear Kate, but then it was called Sexy Period, right out of school. So we were both kind of in this kind of like startup nonprofit world, and we both knew of each other because Providence is a really small city. And we ended up meeting. so sorry.
Judy.
No worries. She ended up contacting me to do a blog post for her blog. We ended up meeting and at one of her events, and the first thing she said to me was, "You're my people." And it was kind of like an aha moment for both of us of, "You're my people," of, you know, smart, motivated young women doing cool things in the city of Providence. And we later on met for coffee a couple days later, and we were both talking about going to all these networking events within the city. And, you know, they were great events, but it was typically a bunch of, like, old white dudes and then, like, peppered in of a few other kind of people. And it's hard when you're starting a business or wanting to do your own thing, and especially for Julie, who was starting an underwear company that targets women on their periods, like, it's kind of hard to explain that to somebody who's completely outside your demographic. So, and we both knew all of these really amazing women from college and jobs and internships where they were doing really cool things, and they weren't just what their business card was. They weren't just working in a nonprofit. They also were a photographer, or maybe someone was an accountant, but on the side she had an Etsy store. And we like to call these side hustles. And we knew all these women, especially when you're starting a business, you really need all these contacts. You need a designer, you need an accountant, you need a lawyer, you need somebody to, like, grab drinks with and just be like, "Oh my God, this is so hard," or share your tips and share how you've succeeded. So we were like, why don't we get all these women in the room together? Why don't we have all these women not only know each other, but more importantly, work together? So if you're starting a business or you work for a nonprofit or you need a connection for your job or you're on a board, you have this resource of really cool, motivated, smart women who are your people. So that's kind of how we started it. Now it's kind of our moment of, this doesn't exist, and why don't we make it?
I like that idea of it just kind of seeing that there was a need, recognizing that it didn't exist, and just deciding, well, no one's going to create it for us. We might as well just jump on in and do it. And you started it in Providence, which both Allie and I have soft spots in our hearts for a number of reasons. Allie lived there. I also lived there for a little bit. And it started there, but, I mean, I became aware of it when it had expanded to Boston, and it continues to expand. Like, when we had the summit in April, at that point it was in 7 cities, and now we know that it's going to be in 3 more cities, so it just keeps getting bigger. So what has it been like to see something like that started in a room with 2 people that found their people in each other, and now it's just all over the place? What has that been like?
It's been really crazy, and when Julie and I first started Lady Project, we weren't going into it thinking this would be great in other cities. We're like, oh, this would be a cool thing to do in Providence, like, be great to do here. But my other friend, Julie, she was in New Haven. We had met as interns at Waterfire Providence. And she was like, hey, New Haven is really great, but I think it needs something like Lady Project. Like, have you guys thought about expanding to other cities? And we were like, we haven't, but let's do it. And New Haven is kind of similar to Providence in the realm where it's like a smaller city. It's really kind of a college town. And it also struggles with keeping these great college students within the city. So we're like, let's do it. And it was really cool going to that launch event and seeing 100 people in there who were like, we needed this. Like, where has this been? Like, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And we've seen that same kind of energy and that same reaction in other cities as we've expanded. When I was in New York for the New York launch, and I was really hesitant about doing New York because it's New York. Like, they have everything. They have, you can get anything at any hour of the day, and you can get it delivered within 10 minutes. I mean, it's a very different place than Providence and New Haven. And people kept coming up to me, and they're like, how'd you find out about this? Like, you know, not knowing that, you know, I was a co-founder or whatever. But they're like, I saw it on Twitter, or, you know, my friend told me about it. And, like, you know, their whole thing was, like, it's a really big city, and it's hard to meet people. And especially after you graduate college, especially if you move to a city where maybe you didn't grow up in, or you didn't go to college in, you know, you might not have that initial network. And you might feel a little bit lonely, too, like, oh, I just have my work friends, and you want to expand that network. So Lady Project, too, is a really great place for people to meet other friends. And we've seen that a lot, too, which is really cool.
I love it.
Yeah, I can attest.
I moved to New York 2 years ago, and I, you know, grew up around New York, so it's not that it's foreign to me. So I can definitely see that moving here, needing to build a network. So that's awesome, and I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, please do.
Excellent. Yeah, that's super exciting. So you have a very clear vision of what you want the Lady Project to be, and, you know, you can see it play out in Providence because that's where you live. But how, in your absence in other cities, do you work with city managers to make sure that that vision remains the same?
And that's something, too, that we've really kind of, as we've grown, and we've grown very quickly, kind of are kind of figuring out as we go. So everyone is a volunteer at this point. All of our city managers are volunteer. I'm a volunteer. I hope our goal is to have a small staff where we can really give our city managers the resources that they need. But by managing the city managers, we have like a monthly city manager hangout, like a Google Hang. We actually have one tomorrow night. We also email, I probably email them once a week with like, oh, hey, did you know we have this now? Or like, we just got Amazon for Business so they can request an order instead of just emailing me. We're trying to just make sure it's all separate. So stuff like that, we'll do via email. We also have like a private Facebook group. But we do have standards that we are really kind of sticklers with. I was a marketing major, and I'm like a total branding nerd and a Virgo kind of control freak. So we have kind of, you know, we want to have the city managers and their chapters to have the flexibility to make it their own, but, like, we're not going to have an event made in Comic Sans, like, event image. Like, that's not us. That's not our brand. Like, we're not going to have an event at Dave & Buster's. That's not our brand. So when a new city manager comes on, like, we have our chapters in Boulder, San Diego, and Philly launching this fall. So we have I kind of have a sit-down with them. We give them a city manager handbook that kind of outlines all of the branding, kind of what Lady Project is. We also do a city manager training every January, so we actually bring everyone into Providence for that. We're hoping to maybe expand that to, like, Miami 1 year. Maybe 1 year we go to, like, San Diego. Coming to, like, New England in January is really depressing, kind of like how it feels today where it's, like, 40 degrees out. But we also do the monthly calls, and then with the new chapters, I actually talk to them every other week for about 6 months while their chapters get set up. And that's something we're streamlining. We have a director of training and director of membership on right now. Again, they're both volunteers, but they're really helping us kind of streamline our the different ways we process and kind of onboard everyone. So I'm hoping that we get to a point where, you know, it's all within a guide or within a project management system, because we'll be probably double our size, if not more, by this time next year. So just the capacity really changes when it's 15 chapters opposed to 7. And even a year ago, when we were 3. So that is something that we're kind of figuring out as we're growing, but we're definitely getting there. And our city managers are so amazing, and they're so patient, and I make sure that they always know that they can, like, text me anytime, call me anytime. Like, our Nashville city manager called me at, like, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night with a question, and I will always, like, they're my number one priority because I want to make sure that they're supported. And that's why it's important that we start kind of building this small staff here in Rhode Island where we can give our city managers and their teams the resources that they need to thrive.
So it seems to me like overall it's kind of an environment where people are doing this because it's something that they love, and it's something that they want to work together on to see happen to make sure that other women can be successful just as they feel like they are. And I think that a lot of the women in the group are seeking to collaborate with other women, but sometimes we shy away from that because myths of people being competitive or putting each other down, and so all the stereotypes that kind of keep women not necessarily in concert with one another. So how do you keep the environment of Lady Project uplifting and supportive and helpful for everybody that's involved, whether they're planning it or just going to events?
Yeah, and I think, too, that's something that we've actually received feedback on when people are like, oh, I thought there'd be more, like, fighting in the Facebook group. I was like, why would there be fighting? but there is that, you know, kind of, like, negative stereotype that women don't want to work together, they don't want to support each other, they want to knock each other down. And I think a lot of that, without being too cheesy, is a lot of energy. Like, we attract kind of the people who want to lift other women up. I think it's also, you know, we practice what we preach, and we make sure we have a very inclusive community, that it's about, you know, defining your own success. It's about, you know, helping each other people and making the most out of everything and living your dreams and being supportive of that. So I think, too, with our messages from our manifesto, from who we have speak at the summit, to, you know, what we even put on our Twitter page, that really goes back to the mission, which is to connect, inspire, and showcase. And I think one of the other reasons, too, is that we're not industry specific. So I think, too, when you get a bunch of advertising people in the room, they realize that you're, or any industry, but, you know, they realize, oh, these people are in my industry, they could be competition. But when you get women of, you know, an accountant, a lawyer, a blogger, a stay-at-home mom, when you kind of diversify these groups from everything from industry to age to background to race to, you know, any sort of demographic, is that we can all work together and help each other and build each other up. And I think that's really important. And I think because we're not industry-specific or limiting to a certain type of woman, we are way more open and way more accepting of each other. Because I know a lot of the groups, and one of the reasons Julie and I started Lady Project is because a lot of these other groups out there, and they were great, you know, were like, oh, you have to be a graphic designer, or you have to make this much money, or you have to be at this point in your career. And it's like, well, I need support at every level of my career. You know, and so many women, too, are like going back to school at a certain age, or maybe they're going back to work after having kids, and everyone needs that support at every life stage.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that having gone to a couple of the events and just seeing the kind of environment that is there and the people that I've been able to meet, and it's people that do so many different things, and yet we've been able to kind of bond over something that was in a workshop or and something that we did in an event like spinning or rock climbing or painting. And it's just something fun. And being able to bond from all walks of life over something similar is really powerful.
Totally. And I think, too, especially when you're owning a business or you have another kind of side hustle, too, it's, or even just somebody else in the professional world, you want to be able to, like, bond with them over, oh, my God, I have this boss and she's a nightmare, or, like, whatever your kind of talk is, or, oh, my God, my kid won't stop, you know, running around. Like, you want to have that interaction. And I think, too, women, you know, my friends, you know, we'll talk about our boyfriends, but we'll also talk about, like, the worst day we ever had at work. Like, all of our relationships are kind of overlapping each other. So
something that's really interesting for me is I was living in Providence when you guys started the Lady Project and saw a bunch of my friends get involved in it, and now to see it grow from, you know, our little city of Providence to cities sort of all over the map, it's so incredible for me to see that you took this small vision and you've now made it huge. So what advice do you have for women who have an idea but they're not sure how to bring that to life?
Well, thank you. I think my advice is just to do it. I mean, Julie and I never really kind of started to do what we are doing now. Like, if you would have told me 3 years ago, like, oh, you'd have 7 chapters and be, you know, on CNN, I'd be like, you're crazy. but I think it's just to do it. And I think, too, I know a lot of my friends are like, oh, I want to start a business, but I need to have this much money saved. I need to go back to school. I need to do this. And it's like, you'll never feel, whether it's a business idea or a blog or you want to quit your job and go to Europe for 6 months, like whatever that dream is, I think you really just kind of need to do it. And of course there are things like you can't just not show up to work. Like you have to, you know, kind of get your ducks in a row. But I think too, I know a lot of my friends and a lot of women I've met, like we want to make sure everything's perfect. And I'm like, okay, we, you know, check this box. But you're never going to feel 100% ready. And I feel the older I've gotten, the busier I've gotten. So I never feel like you're too old or too young to do anything. But I think it's just to do it and to know that you're going to screw up and it's going to be okay. Like, we have failed many times. Like, we have screwed up a lot of things. And it's important to then take those experiences and learn from them and not let it happen again. And I think, too, you just need to trust in yourself and surround yourself also with people who believe in you and almost believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And I feel that way every day. Like, my board is so great. Like, you're so amazing. And it's days where I'm like, everything sucks. Like, I'm so tired. But, you know, surround yourself with people who are going to lift you higher, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to accomplish anything. Can you hold up 1 second?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm so sorry. 1 second. I'm so sorry. This, like, never happened.
No worries. All right. So now we are going to go into our closer question.
Okay.
So the first one is, who is your favorite woman in pop culture right now? It can be a real woman. It can be a fictional woman. It can be from a book, a movie, a TV show. Who would you pick?
So I know it just, like, happened today where it really came out, but Caitlyn Jenner. I was so moved by her story, and I, you know, have definitely watched a few episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And I was just really, like, blown away, and I was also really blown away by other people's comments. And, you know, you kind of, like, I'll, like, hate read the comments on a news site, and they were all pretty supportive, and I was really excited about that. So, but I think my other kind of go-to woman in pop culture is Amy Poehler / Leslie Knope. She's my favorite. I kind of always wish to be some sort of Leslie Knope into my day. But I just think I think Amy Poehler, I loved her book. I just think she's so special and so talented, and also, you know, everything she does is smart girls, and with UCB, and she mentors a lot of young women. I just think that she's super awesome. She'd be like my dream dinner date. Like, if I could have a dinner party, it would be like four Amy Poehlers. I think I also really love Beyonce, but I mean, I think, like, everyone loves Beyonce, but I mean, I don't know anyone who's like, oh, Beyonce. I'm like, if you're a monster, you have to love Beyonce. Who else do I love? This is kind of cheesy, but I've been reading this Jackie Kennedy biography, and I think that she was a lot more complicated than most people let on. And I think she had a lot of strength for such kind of the weird position she was in. And I never really realized that she was 32 when she became the first lady, which I know 32-year-olds who, like, still with their parents. Like, how can you be first lady when you're 32? So I think those are, you know, three or four women that I feel are just really fantastic. And, you know, I try to look at women who do things, you know, do really great things with their life and are kind to others and give back. And also, you know, they leave the world a better place. And that's something I want to do. And I think that's something that most people want to do. But, yeah, those are some of my favorites.
Those are all really good ones.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, those are good. What advice would you have for your 18-year-old self?
Boy, I would get myself a hair straightener, for one. But that's not... like, I look back at the photos, and I'm like, oh, my God, Tiara, just go to Walmart and buy a hair straightener. But I think it would be to relax and to have fun. I remember, like, when I was in college, I just wanted to be done. I just wanted to be over it, and I wanted to be in, like, the quote-unquote real world, and I just wanted to be done, and I just wanted to get out there. And I don't think college was, like, the best years of my life. I think that's kind of overrated. Like, I certainly had a great college experience, but and I think to not let my self-worth be valued on men, and not in, like, in a depressing way for me, but just I felt so like, I changed myself a lot for whatever guy I was into that month. So I think that, too. Like, none of them are worth it. So just get over it. Like, listen to some Taylor Swift, have some wine, and, like, continue with your life. Because none of them are worth it. So,
man, if we had had her in high school, though, I'd be living a very different life.
Oh,
so
good. Totally. Yeah. I wish I had Taylor Swift in high school. I had her, like, just at the very end of college, and I cried many a nights to, like, her, like, Fearless album, because I was, like, really into this guy. And, like, every song reminded me of him, you know, as they always do. But
they always do. That's very true. But,
yeah.
We have her now, and we can recommend her to our former selves, but wish we'd gotten more.
Yeah.
All right, and our last question, what one thing would you tell women that are trying to do their own thing?
I think the biggest thing is that you have to stay true to yourself, and you can't let the haters bring you down. And someone once told me that, like, once you have haters, you know you've made it, which is kind of true. It also sucks to get a bad article or a mean tweet or somebody to tell you you're not doing anything worthwhile, me and Lady Fratrix have always heard. You know, I think overwhelmingly our kind of press has been really good, but, you know, that one blog article or that one tweet will just, like, totally ruin your day. So I think that's it. Like, staying true to yourself, staying true to your mission, and listening to your gut. Like, if it feels icky, then it's icky. So you have to know that, and you have to know what you stand for and what your brand stands for, because we had a, like, super, super short story, but we had an issue, like, when Julie and I first started, we needed money. Like, we were trying to get a sponsor for this event, and we were sitting down with this, like, big accounting firm that was going to give us, like, $500, which was, like, $1 million at the time. It's still a lot of money, but, you know, we didn't have, like, any money at this point. And, we wanted it, you know, they were great, they were on board, and then they brought in their marketing manager, and she was, like, so patronizing and so condescending, and was, like, really rude to me and Julie, and then was just, like, basically, like, cutting down our event, and it just, I remember, like, leaving that lunch meeting just feeling so gross, and Julie and I were both, like, we don't want to do this, like, we don't want to work with a company that doesn't get us, and we said no to the sponsorship. We're, like, you know, thanks, but no thanks. You know, maybe we can partner on a different event at another point, because this is what we want to do. And if you're not on board, that's okay. But, you know, then we don't need to work together. So that was, like, our third or fourth event. And that experience really kind of shaped me and kind of what I look for in a partner, like a business partner and as a corporate partner. Because if it feels icky, like, you can always find more money. And we did. We reached out to another sponsor, and they were great and fabulous and above and beyond. But I think you really just need to stay true to yourself and true to your brand, because authenticity is your best asset. If you're authentic, people know it. If you're not authentic, people will see it a mile away and won't want to work with you, and they won't want to invest in you, you know, as a sponsor, as a supporter, as an attendee. And I try to be – I feel like I'm very transparent with our members. Like, if I, like, totally screw up, I will tell them. And I will tell them what happened, and I'll go let them know. I will let them know if something's happening. I'll give them the heads up. But I think, you know, being authentic, staying true to yourself, and just being honest is really key, because you're not going to get anywhere unless it makes you feel good.
I like that. I think that's definitely a good message to carry around, because I think a lot of us do have people that we look to that, like you said, lift us up and do make us feel supported. And I think that it's as important to know not to listen to those that don't do that. So I feel like hearing both sides of it is always helpful, always helpful. So I like that. Yeah. I like that that's the big takeaway for this.
Yeah. One of my board members, she always says, do they have skin in the game? And I think it's from one of Brené Brown's books. But unless they have skin in the game, you know, talk to them, get their feedback. But if they don't have skin in the game, like, who cares? Like, they're not in your ring. Like, haters gonna hate. So.
Exactly. We don't got to take that.
Yeah. Like, screw that. Like, take your mean tweet and, like, listen to some Taylor Swift mean, and then you'll be fine.
All problems can be solved with Taylor Swift is what I'm hearing. That's the secondary
True
one.
Story. Yeah, that's the title.
Yeah, solves pretty much everything. Well, I don't think we can end on a better note than that. I feel like that's just all life advice.
Oh, awesome. And I apologize for, like, my dogs and my neighbor, like, chirping in. But, okay,
we've
cool.
not yet had guest parents by a dog, so this is actually really special for us.
Okay, good. They're very excited about somebody knocking down the door. So.
There you go. All right, well, Sierra, cool. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun talking to you, learning more about what you're doing, and getting great advice on how to live, how to work collaboratively, and how to be all around awesome, just as you are.
Oh, my gosh, you guys too. Thank you so much. And are you guys both in Boston?
I'm in New York.
New York.
You're in Boston, though, right?
I am. I'm in Boston.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, next time I'm in New York and next time I'm in Boston, we should, like, grab a drink.
Yes.
Yep.
Agreed.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. So thank you all for
thank
joining
you.
Us. It has been a pleasure talking to everyone. So stay tuned for more talks with great women doing their own thing. And we will talk to you real soon.